Welcome, welcome, friends. Thank you for joining me today. If you're new to this channel, my name is Gail Manizak with City Changers Illinois and the Morning Star Ministry Group. Amen. And what do? We're taking territory away from the enemy, taking territory for the kingdom of God, one prayer at a time, one day at a time. And we're just picking away with prayer and whatever God leads us to do, like this. Amen. I'm praying that Father God will just open up your eyes, your ears, that you will hear something you never heard before, that it would just drop into your spirit and you would receive, as I've referred to many times, the Word of God, nuggets of gold. I pray that for you. I ask God for that for you. I pray for your needs to be met today, whether it be spiritual or physical. I pray those needs will be met. I pray that heaven will just like drop dew from heaven upon you in Jesus' name. Father God, open this word to us and help me to bring it across as it is written. That is, as it is written in the Bible. As I said before, this is the easy version of the Bible, so everybody, no matter what age you are, should be able to understand it. This is the chapter where the devil comes and he tries to cause Jesus to do wrong things. And what is that called to us? It's called temptation. And temptation comes to all of us at one time or another, or many times in this earthly realm. But we have such grace upon our lives as we seek the Lord daily and walk with Jesus daily that we can walk through anything holding his hand. Amen. No matter how difficult it is. So the Bible says, then the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Amen. What is the wilderness like? It is desolate. There is nothing out there. It is sand and dirt and weeds and hot and dirty and everything like that. There's nothing beautiful about it in any way, shape, or form. But anyway, while he is there, the devil comes to him. Now, keep in mind what I just said in verse 1. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Most everything that I see, I'll say many things that Jesus went through, he gives us an example because we're going to go through it too. So we watch those examples of how did Jesus deal with that. That's how we need to deal with it. So he dealt with this wilderness experience. He dealt with this devil that came against him, tried to get him to do, to yield to temptation. But Jesus, he had not eaten anything for 4 days, 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that time, he was very hungry. As I said, he probably felt like he was starving when his appetite returned to him. Then the devil came to Jesus and said to him, if you are the Son of God, speak to these stones and tell them to become bread. So here the devil is telling Jesus to speak to stones, to do some, do a little bit of magic or miraculous stuff here, Jesus, in front of me, and tell them to become bread. But Jesus replied with the word of God, and he said, no, the Bible says that food alone cannot cause people to live. They need to hear every word that God speaks. That, Jesus said, is what gives them true life. It's what gives us true life. So then the devil leads Jesus to Jerusalem, and he made him stand at the highest point of that temple, and he said to Jesus, you know what? If you're the Son of God, jump down from here. Jump down to the ground. You know that the Bible says. So here we've got the enemy quoting the Bible to Jesus, who is the Word. Amen? So he quotes the Bible. He says, the Bible says, God will tell his angels to keep you safe. They will hold you safely in their hands. They will not let you hurt your foot even on a stone. And Jesus replies to him and he says, no, the Bible says, do not test the Lord God to see if he will save you. Don't do it. Don't just do something and see if the Lord will save you. If it's out of the will of God, you might not be saved. Amen. If you're breaking the law, you might not be saved. Then the devil led Jesus up a very high mountain, and he showed Jesus all the countries in the world, in the whole world. They were very great. They were beautiful. The countries were just magnified in a beautiful way as the devil presented it to Jesus. And the devil said, I will give you power. The devil's offering to give Jesus power over all these countries. Just do this. Go down on your knees in front of me and worship me, and I will give it all to you. And then Jesus said to him, Satan, go away from me. The Bible says only worship your Lord God. He is the only one that you should obey. So then the devil left Jesus alone, and immediately angels came and they ministered to Jesus and they took care of him. I'm sure they brought refreshing and food and everything that was needed. So the devil, we find here, can quote the word of God to us even. I know at one time in my life, in my younger years, that I was reading a particular book in the Bible and a particular scripture I happened to be at, and it was like that whole scripture was turned around to where I felt like a sinner that God would never forgive my sins. That I'd be lost forever. But I didn't know the Bible very well, and the enemy was, you know, he throws these temptations out to us. And lies, that's what I was going to say about that. Here, the enemy, he jumps down to the ground, and he promises Jesus all this stuff. All the countries, where did that scripture go? Verse 8, all the countries, verse 9, the devil said, I will give you power over all these countries. Just go down on your knees in front of me and worship me, and I will give it all to you. You know very well that if Jesus would have done that, which he wouldn't do it because he was God in the flesh, and he knew his own word, for goodness sakes. But you know what? If it had been you or me and we had done that, you wouldn't have got what the devil said. You never will. Anything you're tempted with and you give in to it because you might get this or get that, and it's something God don't want you to do, don't plan on getting your way or getting what the enemy has offered you. Because more than likely, if you did receive it, it would only be for a very brief moment. So then we get down to verse 12, and Jesus starts his work in Galilee. Jesus heard that Herod had put John the Baptist in prison, and Jesus returned to Galilee, but he did not stay in Nazareth. Instead, he went to live in Capernaum, which is a town on the shore of Lake Galilee, and it was part of Israel called Zebulun and Naphtali, I believe it is pronounced. This caused God's message to become true, because long ago, God had said through his prophet Isaiah, I am speaking to you people who live in Zebulun and Naphtali. Your part of this country is in the way to Lake Galilee. It is across the Jordan River in the part of the country called Galilee. And some people who are not Jews live there. They are like people who are living in the dark. They live in the shadow which death brings. God will send a light to shine on them. Amen. So that was prophesied long ago by Isaiah. And as we go on, then Jesus began to speak God's message to the people. And he says, you know what? You have done many wrong things. You must turn away from them and change how you live. Do this now, because the kingdom of heaven has come very near. Now I want to say something here. I'm going to insert a thought here. There are many people that don't want their life to change, but believe me, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you are a new creation and all things are made new for you. Yes, you may go through temptations at different times, but you have the grace upon your life to say no to temptation, to say no to sin. No man has to sin. We make choices. But the point that I wanted to bring out was, it says you must turn away from them and change how you live. So it's going to be a whole new way of living when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. But you're a whole new person. You've just been born again into the kingdom of God. And you are just, your heart desires, I'll say, I guess, are changing. They change the moment you change. They change the moment you were born again. There were many things in your life that you probably didn't ever want to do again. Many things that you didn't want to, like it says, turn away from them. Turn away from things that are bad. And he says, do this now, because the kingdom of heaven has come very near. We need to accept Jesus now. You do not know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the next hour holds, and actually neither do you. One point I was trying to make here about change how you live is my sister one time told me she was not serving the Lord. She did acknowledge God as God, but she never gave her life to the Lord. She may have when she was a little girl. But her adult life, she was not living for the Lord. She was living with a man, unmarried. She was. You could just look at her fruit and tell she was not serving the Lord. We can tell by people's fruit if they're serving the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. But she said, "I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I do not want my life to change." And so that was basically her saying no to the Lord again. And she's went on to be with the Lord now. At the very last of her life, she died with cancer. She had cancer 3 different times. And the Lord said to her, with the first 2 times she had cancer, after that, the 3rd time that she got, right before she got cancer, the Lord said, "I've held the hand of death once, I've held the hand of death twice." And that, to me, though I don't know if she realized it, was a warning. The rest of the word was very good. It was God calling her unto himself. But you know what? She had this mindset that she did not want her life to change. And the change that, in the way that our life changes with Jesus, when we ask him to come into our heart, is beautiful. We change for the better, not for the worse. We change. We're separated from the ways of the world. God has taken so much of our desires of years and years of living in this world and showed us how futile, the grass withers, you know, and it dies right away. Or plants last a little while and they die. And we're only going to last a little while and we're going to die too. But you know what? There is an eternity. You will spend it with God by accepting Jesus, because he is the only way into your heart, or you will go to hell and burn for eternity. And there's enough in the Bible to prove that point. I know there's plenty of people that are not choosing to believe that, any part of that in the Bible about hell. But I suggest that you reread it and ask for revelation from God on it. So, in verse 18, one day Jesus was walking along the shore of the Lake of Galilee, and he saw two men who were brothers. One man was called Simon, and he was also called Peter. His brother's name was Andrew. Their job was to catch fish. They were fishermen. They were throwing their nets into the lake to catch fish. Jesus said to them, he said, "Come with me and be my disciples. Then I will teach you to catch people instead of fish." Amen. Jesus wants us to win souls. Proverbs says, "He who wins souls is wise." Simon and Andrew, immediately they put their nets down and they went with Jesus. They continued to walk along the shore, and soon Jesus saw two more men who were brothers, and they were called James and John. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee. They were mending their nets, and Jesus said to James and John, "Excuse me, come with me." The brothers immediately left their boat and their father behind. They went with Jesus to be his disciples. You know, this is not a storybook or a storybook tale. This is truth. Think about why would those brothers just up and leave their whole life job? They've probably been fishermen all their life, I'm sure these men had been, all four of these men. They were mending their nets. They were catching fish. And Jesus says, "Come with me. Come and follow me. Come and be my disciples." And they went. Don't you suppose they had to have that grace of God on their life that was just pulling them like Jesus was a magnet to them? There's something about him that touched their inner man, their spirit of their self, and was calling them. Jesus traveled everywhere in Galilee. He taught the people in the Jewish meeting places. He taught them. He went to their churches and he taught them. He told them the good news about God's kingdom. He also caused sick people to become well again from all their different pains and from all their different illnesses. He caused sick people to become well again. And most other versions say he healed. More and more people in all parts of Syria heard about Jesus. They brought all the sick people to see him. And these people had many different illnesses. And some of them had, well, you can imagine, they would have been in pain, or some type of agony or effects of their sickness, depending on what kind of sickness they had. But some of them were in great pain. Some of them were suffering in different, maybe they had upset stomachs. Maybe they had migraine headaches. I don't know. These people were sick and Jesus was healing them. They had many different illnesses. It wasn't just one thing. And bad spirits were living inside of them. Some people could not control their bodies, and some people could not walk. Now, this is talking about the sick. Amen. A lot of sickness is demons. Though all the time, I think there's a scripture in the Bible that it's not always. Jesus said this man's not sick because of sin. And yet the Bible says sin brings death. So it very well, as this script, as this version says, bad spirits were living inside some of them. Some people could not control their bodies. Some people could not walk. Some people could not talk. Jesus caused all these people to become well again. I believe it says in the King James, all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Well, because of this, large crowds of people, and we're going to close here on this chapter, large crowds of people followed him. They came from Galilee and from the region called the Ten Cities. Some of them came from Jerusalem and other parts from Judea. And some came from the other side of the Jordan River. And that ends our chapter 4. But what I wanted to say is many of these people are kind of insert here. Many of these people were here following Jesus with their hand out. They needed a healing. They needed something. Not all people continued to follow Jesus. Some of them fell away. But he healed all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. And he taught them later on in scriptures. And why, you know, I have to think to myself, why, if they knew he healed them, didn't they continue to walk with him? But they didn't. So I'm going to close there, and next we'll be doing Matthew chapter 5, which is an excellent, excellent chapter. So in saying that, I say God bless you each and every one. I pray that you receive those nuggets that dropped down about, there was just so much in that chapter about the temptation, about how Jesus dealt with it, and then about how he went out and he began to call his disciples to come and follow him. So I'm going to say bless you, we love you, we pray for you, and God loves you.